Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 23. This morning we're taking a break from our ongoing series in the Gospel of Luke. Once a month we hear a sermon on our Psalm of the month, and this month's Psalm is number 23. Now please give your full attention to God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And God bless unto us the reading of his holy word. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 23 is a very familiar psalm. Even many unbelievers would recognize these words. Many of you have memorized it, and for good reason. This is probably the most comforting psalm in the Psalter. It addresses our most critical need in this life, the need of a shepherd. You see, friend, the reality is that you cannot make it on your own. Whether you realize it or not, you need someone to take care of you, to provide for you. You cannot lift yourself up by your bootstraps. And here in Psalm 23, David sings of the good news that he has a shepherd. And not just any shepherd, but Yahweh, the Lord, is his shepherd. That's how David begins in verse 1 with the simple statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." And David explains what this precious truth means for him. It means that I shall not want. Now, boys and girls, here in verse 1, the word want is used in a different way than we tend to use it today. When we use the word want, we're talking about desires. We're talking about things that we would like to have. But that is not what David means here. Here the word want means lack. We could faithfully translate this verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack." Because the Lord is his shepherd, David is confident that he will not lack anything that he truly needs, either in this life or in the life to come. And throughout the rest of the psalm, David describes how the Lord lovingly provides for and shepherds his people. Verse 2 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." You see, the Lord brings his sheep to a place where they can enjoy exactly the sort of rest and refreshment that they need. A place where they find only the best provisions, lush green meadows, and a clear, calm, gentle spring. The perfect environment for a sheep to find food, rest, refreshment, and joy. Could there be such a place as this in our tumultuous, stressed out, exhausted world? Where can such a resting place be found? The answer is wherever the shepherd is. And friend, the good news is that Jesus invites you to that rest today. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So whatever it is, whatever way that you're laboring and heavily burdened, whether it's intense stress, anxiety, exhaustion, worry, sorrow, fear, guilt, there is a place where you can find rest and peace. Come to Jesus. He is the good shepherd, and he has provided us with the gift of his presence, which is, in fact, a gift we enjoy today, here as we gather as a church, here in this oasis on our journey through the desert wilderness of this world. Here among God's people, we find rest and refreshment and joy because of the presence of our risen Lord, our good shepherd. Here we hear him speak to us, and we feast upon the bread of his word. Here we drink deeply of the water of the fountain of life as he cleanses us by washing of water with the word. See, in verse 3, David makes it clear that he's not only talking about the Lord giving us physical rest and physical food and water. Look at verse 3. Notice what he says. He restores my soul. We need so much more than just provision for our bodily needs. We need the Lord to redeem and heal our souls from sin. Our great spiritual enemies confront us every day. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Each and every day, so many things threaten to pull your focus, your attention away from the Lord. We're so quick to turn to counterfeit gods. Entertainment, money, pleasure, possessions. Sometimes we even turn good things into idols, things like family, friends, our career. We pour our entire lives into these things, and why? Well, often because we want to ignore the elephant in the room, the deep abiding problem of our sin and guilt. For in truth, we do not love God as we ought. We do not love our neighbor as we ought. And it feels a lot easier to bury the problem than to actually face it head on. So we distract ourselves with entertainment and work and sometimes much darker things. And often it works, at least for a while. Maybe you find some momentary relief in the distractions. You feel a little bit better. You're able to dampen your conscience, to distract yourself from the problem. But a distraction is all that it is. That's all the things of this world can do for you, temporarily distract you. They cannot heal you. Because nothing, dear friend, nothing and no one but the Lord can truly heal you. He alone can actually restore your soul. He alone can solve the deep-rooted problem of your sin and guilt. He alone can make you into the person whom you are supposed to be. Thankfully, this is something the good shepherd does for his sheep. See, the Lord does not only lead his sheep to those still waters so that his sheep can drink there. He also leads them there for cleansing, for washing wounds, for healing. Which is exactly what the Lord sealed to you in your baptism, that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly Christ's blood and spirit wash away my soul's impurity, that is all my sins. Friend, the Lord leads you beside those still waters because he is the one who washes you. He leads you there because he is the one who cleanses you. In Revelation 22, verse 1, the angel showed John the river of the water of life, brightest crystal, flowing from where? What is the source of this water of life? Flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. God is the source of those healing waters. The Lamb is the source of the healing river. He restores my soul. He leads me to a place of healing. Do you believe this? Do you believe that the Lord is able to cleanse you, to restore your soul? In Matthew 8, verses 2 and 3, a leper came to Jesus, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That miraculous sign points to a greater miracle, the miracle of the Lord cleansing us from all our sins, a cleansing which is possible only because the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Because of his sacrifice, the good shepherd is able to wash away your guilt, all of it. Yes, even the guilt of those sins that have been eating you up from the inside out for years and years and years, the sins that you feel you cannot confess to anyone because they would never forgive you and they would never see you the same. The Lord is able and willing to cleanse you even from those sins. So sinner, come to Christ for healing, for cleansing, for forgiveness, for everything you need for the restoration of your soul. Confess your sins to him and know that he will not withhold forgiveness from you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know you hear this so often, but it is such good news, and it's so hard to believe when we recognize just how wicked we are in the sight of a perfectly holy, holy, holy God. That's why we need to hear the gospel again and again and again, because it's true. Yes, friend, if God assures you that you, if you are in Christ Jesus by faith, there is therefore now no condemnation for you. There's complete cleansing, complete healing, complete forgiveness for you in Jesus Christ. The complete restoration of your soul, if only you trust in him. You don't have to work for it. You just have to believe. Do you believe this? Dear friends, may we confess in our hearts with David, he restores my soul. But there's more. Next, David writes, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Brothers and sisters, the Lord's work is not only to remove from us the guilt of our sins, but he also leads us to live in a new way from now on. He has regenerated us, he has made us born again, and he himself has gone before us. He leads us in the way that we should walk. One way he leads us is by his perfect example. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul tells us to be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Scripture calls us to walk in the footsteps of our good shepherd, to embrace a life of sanctification, of growth in holiness, of becoming more and more like Jesus. And yet, thankfully, the Lord does not expect us to do this in our own power. He himself actively leads us. Even as we strive to believe what he says and as we put effort into obeying his commandments, God himself is powerfully working in us. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul fully embraces both our human responsibility and God's complete sovereignty. He writes, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Brothers and sisters, this is good news. God does not expect you to figure out salvation on your own. He is actively leading you. He is actively working within you. Not only giving you the directions and the commandments that you need to hear, but he's also giving you the will, the desire to do what is right, and the power, the ability to do it. He leads you. Something else we should notice as we're looking at verse 3 is that every path on which our Lord leads us is a path of righteousness. It is a right path. God never leads his people astray. This means that if you are trying to make a decision and the Bible leads you in one way and everyone else is leading you in another way, you can know that the Bible is right and everyone else is wrong. God leads his people in right paths, in paths of righteousness. Now, the reality is, as sheep, we don't always think it looks like the right path. We sheep think quite a bit of our own minds, of our own intelligence. But Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to to his own way. We don't know the right path always, but the Lord, your shepherd, knows the right path for you. Friend, trust him as he leads you on it. He will bring you safely home. And how can you know this for certain? Well, notice the reason David gives for the Lord's leading in paths of righteousness. It is for his name's sake. Believer, he leads you on right paths, on paths of righteousness, because you belong to him. He has written his name upon you. That's why he cares so much about how you live and what you believe. That's why he leads you in a life of sanctification. That's why he leads you on the right path, a path that will bring you home to himself. We confess this as our only comfort, that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And this gives us reason for great confidence, because his leading us is not just about you. It's about him. It's about his covenant promises. It's about his faithfulness. It's about his steadfast love. He leads you in paths of righteousness, not only for your sake, but for the sake of his own holy name. Surely our God is not going to compromise anything when it comes to upholding the integrity of his holy name. So be confident, believer. The Lord leads you for his own name's sake. In verse 4, the journey continues. We've seen how our shepherd leads us beside still waters. He leads us in paths of righteousness. And now we see that he even leads us through times of hardship and danger. Friend, your shepherd will not abandon you when the road becomes treacherous. One commentator explains, the hill country of Judah is broken up by narrow and precipitous ravines, difficult to descend and ascend, dark, gloomy, and abounding in caves, the abode of wild beasts and robbers. And like those Middle Eastern sheep, we also face many such dangers in our life. Sometimes physical dangers, robbery, assault, schemes and scams, but more often spiritual dangers. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. In Matthew 24, verse 24, Jesus warns of false Christs and false prophets who will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. We are especially prone to danger when we encounter painful trials. How often do we hear bad advice, dangerous advice? For example, in the midst of Job's hardship, what advice was given to him? His wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. And sometimes life may become so painful that you are tempted to do just that. Where is God? Why doesn't God care about me? Why has God abandoned me? Congregation, in such times we must remember Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Lord, I may not always feel your presence, but you have promised that you are with me. And Lord, your presence with me means that nothing that happens to me is ultimately evil. Not even the most painful times. Not even times of deepest loss. Job lost pretty much everything he had, but not apart from the will of God. And believer, you can know that God is working with exactly the same good intent for you, even through the hardest things you face in this life. Yes, even when your home is flooded or burns to the ground, even when you lose your job, even when the stock market crashes and a good portion of your retirement vanishes, even when your child becomes terribly sick or injured, even when you lose a dearly loved one. Even when the world seems to be falling apart around you, your shepherd is still with you. And your shepherd is still good. He's still leading you on the right path, even through the valley of deepest darkness. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." In our catechism, we confess that our faithful Savior watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. You see, friend, there is something more important than you having a beautiful house, the perfect career, a blissful retirement, or even a big family. Your shepherd does not promise you those things. He does, however, promise you something far more important than those things, namely your eternal salvation. In John 6:39, Jesus said, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." And he will. So when you are confused about why your life is going the way that it is, take some time to remember what God has said. And instead of complaining about how things are going so badly, so unexpectedly, prayerfully consider that God must have sent you this trial for a reason. Look, you know that your God is good. You know that your God is working in all things for your good, believer. So what can I learn from this trial? Which the God of complete sovereignty and infinite wisdom chose to send into my life. He has a reason. Nothing he does and nothing he allows us to suffer is meaningless. Could it be that God is working in this way to get my attention? Have I strayed from the path of faith and obedience? Because if so, this is a very big deal, and I should be thankful if God works to get my attention by any means necessary for the sake of my eternal salvation. It could be that you are walking in unconfessed sin and need to repent, or maybe the Lord is testing you to strengthen your faith, to shake your reliance on other things so that you might more fully trust in him. Friend, examine your trials in the light of God's unchanging truth. Believer, do not make false assumptions about your situation that lead you to think, God doesn't love me, God doesn't care about me, God must have abandoned me. Rather, start with Romans 8:28 and Psalm 23:4 and go from there. And blessedly, verse 4 makes it clear that when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you do not need to fear. As one of Christ's sheep, you can live your entire life without fear. You can live with perfect confidence no matter what happens because your good shepherd is with you. He is taking care of you. He is completely in control of everything that you do not have under control. He is working in all things for the ultimate purpose of your eternal salvation, working to prepare you for that glorious day when he will present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she may be holy and without blemish. Believer, he will do whatever it takes to bring you there. And therefore, at the end of verse 4, David writes, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." These instruments are a comfort to David because the good shepherd uses them to take care of his sheep. He uses that rod to beat away our enemies, and he uses his shepherd's crook to pull us back when we begin to wander off the right path. Friend, what a comfort that the good shepherd always makes use of his tools to keep his sheep safe. But now in verses 5 and 6, the setting of our psalm changes. He started out among the flock, first in the resting place of green pastures by still waters, and then through the dark valley. But now, the shepherd takes us into his home. This is how good our shepherd is. This is what the Lord does for us. He's not content to merely lead us through this world, offering occasional refreshment on the way. Our shepherd intends to bring his sheep into his own home. Jesus said in John 14:3, "I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." In anticipation of our glorious heavenly residence, the Lord invites us into his house. Even now, the church is the place of his presence. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Alan Ross points out, according to custom, the honored guest was safe because the host was obligated to protect a guest at all costs. So long as we are with him, we can feast without fear, no matter how many enemies surround us. Then David writes, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." The Lord is a gracious host. He welcomes us into his presence. He honors us. And with him, our cup is so full that it overflows. Dear friends, our Lord Jesus Christ drank the cup of God's wrath to its dregs, so that we might drink from a cup overflowing in blessing. Not only this, but look at verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." What will follow me? What will pursue me through this life? Back in verse 4, David mentioned enemies. Are my enemies pursuing me? Are they overcoming me? No. What is pursuing me, following me? Goodness and mercy. And when are goodness and mercy pursuing David and every believer? All the days of my life. So we tend to look at our enemies, our problems, and see them as being more significant than God. But really, it's exactly the opposite. Believer, more than anything else is coming after you. God is coming after you. God is pursuing you. And if you doubt this, well, friend, look. God himself is speaking to you right now through his word. And he continues to pursue you, even if you are running away. He's right here pursuing you with all his goodness and mercy. You cannot escape him. Jonah tried and failed. So stop running. Turn to him. Receive his comfort. Receive his care. Enter into the blessing and the joy of knowing that the Lord is your shepherd. And David ends with the words, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David is saying, this is where I get to be, where I get to be forever in the Lord's house. David is also saying, this is where I want to be because my shepherd is here. The Lord is here. There's no better place. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Dear friend, is the Lord your shepherd? Do you know that he is your shepherd? Maybe today you're wondering, what do I need to do to have so great a shepherd as the Lord? The answer is simply believe. Put your trust in him. Confess your need of him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. He will perfectly shepherd all who look to him in faith. So come to him. Come to this good shepherd. Bring all your sin and your failures and your weakness. Come to the shepherd, for he is the one who heals, who leads, who protects, who pursues, who loves his sheep. In closing, I know that we've heard these words of Psalm 23 so often, but actually believing them and living by them is another story. May God be gracious to us and grant us faith so that we can take David's confession on our lips sincerely. And that's how we will close today. We don't usually do this, but let me ask you today to take your Bible. If you don't have an ESV, take one of the church Bibles. It's on page 458. Turn to Psalm 23 if you're not already there, and we will confess it together. And as we do, may the Holy Spirit grant us faith to believe these words. May he write them on our hearts. May he bring us to a greater trust and love of the Lord, who is truly our good shepherd. Psalm 23, let's confess this blessed truth out loud together, saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Let us pray.